they went back to school in some form, whether it was half day hybrid.
Right, right.
We went full virtual in September. Mm-hmm. So, and we had single digit cases being reported in the county.
Yeah.
So it was disappointing.
Right,
I know
right.
a lot of parents were expecting to open. We had gotten bus passes. We had sent supply lists. Mm-hmm. Everyone was expecting to open. And then that decision was made not to open in the middle of August.
Right.
So
right.
it was a surprise and a shock. Since then, I, you know, have been paying more attention to board meetings and such.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you know, in the spring of this past year, all the school districts and surrounding areas were bringing all the kids back all together. No
right.
more hybrid, bringing them all back together.
Right.
And our district wasn't discussing it.
Okay.
And so myself and a group of concerned parents mm-hmm. started going to the board meetings and asking, why are we not making plans to
yeah.
reopen? All these other districts are doing it. We haven't even talked about it or discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
And really that parent pressure motivated a lot of action. And the school responded, they prepared, they got their ducks in a row, and the school's open.
Right.
And so since then, again, we stayed involved. We kept attending meetings, you know, really paying attention. And I was just disappointed by what I felt was a lack of representation of the board to the community's interests or the interests of the parents.
Right.
And, you know, at first it was like, okay, does anybody know somebody who wants to run? You know, somebody who might be retired or, you know, at a different, you know, position. Because I'm a mom. I have two young kids. I have a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm busy, although, side note, my family had a house fire. And
oh, Jesus, God. I'm sorry
yes,
to hear that.
Right before COVID,
of
actually.
Course, right.
And, to add insult to injury. But I left my job to deal with the house fire.
Right.
So
right.
then COVID hit, and then the kids were home. And so I didn't return to the workforce. And mm-hmm. actually, it left me in this unique position that at this point in time, I have the opportunity to run for the board. So when nobody presented themselves, I said, well, I'm going to do it. I will run for the board. And so a gentleman, like I said, John P. Rolak, I did not know him prior to this, but mm-hmm. he found me mm-hmm. and he said, I'd like to run with you. And I said, all right, we've had a long conversation. We seem to be on the same page with a lot of, you know, the ideas that we had for the district and the things that we were unhappy with in the district. So here we are, Hurley Rolak.
Cool. Well, I give you kudos for stepping up and getting involved.
Thank
Jean
you.
Jean and I have talked about this before. I don't know if you're aware, but I was on Hunterdon Central Board of Education actually for a year before I'm now a township committeeman in East Amwell. I was motivated by a similar thing. Granted, this was in like 2017, 2018, but I just don't know where I'm coming from, right?
Sure.
So I was a student at Hunterdon Central. I graduated in 2011. And at the time, I was in law school. And I figured a similar kind of situation happened in Central, somewhat similar, where the representative from East Amwell of my township, he resigned with like 6 months left in his term.
Okay.
And they wanted to fill the slot. So the school board sent out, you know, applications seeking, people who were interested. My dad actually got an email and he sent it to me saying like, hey, this might be a good thing for you. You know, you're going to be a lawyer. You might as well get some experience under your belt. So I was like, yeah, why not? I'll go out for it. So I went. I didn't get the appointment,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to get into it because I don't want to cast blame on anybody, but I wasn't really happy with not getting the appointment. So
okay.
I ended up running myself. I went through the whole rigmarole. I put maybe like $600 or $700 together and I bought, you know, campaign signs and
yeah.
bought some Facebook ads or whatever. And, it's an eye-opening experience when you actually do get on the board, though. You know, because have you had any other like public experience before being
well,
on any boards or anything?
I worked here at the Hunterdon
okay.
County Chamber of Commerce,
yeah.
and this is how I met.
I'm jumping in because she's amazing. Yes, the experience, the people. I'm
yeah.
Jeannie Murphy, but I'm telling you, Michelle Hurley, like, forget it. If you want capable hands, and you know I tell you, I bring the best people to you. I am the person that chooses the best between Chris Obieski and Michelle Hurley. Forget it. good to go.
Right.
Back over here.
Right.
So,
well, nothing can really prepare you for the school board experience.
But
at all,
I did, you know, dabble in kind of the political. I know a lot of the political figures. We interacted before. I know a lot of the local business owners. I've, you know, been in tons of board meetings, and, you know, I was the executive assistant here at the chamber. So I was, you know, going through, you know, meeting materials and taking meeting
so
minutes.
You got a lay of the land.
I'm familiar with Robert's rules and things and such.
So you know what it is.
And so, you know, in terms of politics, I'd say, you know, I was an outspoken voice during, you know, in my personal life, advocating for small businesses because I thought it was tragedy what happened that they were forced to close when, you know, others were allowed to stay open.
I think you and I are of a similar mind on a lot of these topics.
And so, you know, you take heat when you say things that might not, you know, many people are thinking them but are scared to say them. But I was always speaking out. So, and so similarly with the school, you know, there's a lot of parents who want, you know, a choice in different issues that, you know, you see the parents advocating for one thing. And yes, that is one issue that came out of the pandemic. However, there are other issues now that I've learned more that, you know, the top ones being communication and transparency between what's going on at the board level, then getting that information out to the parents and the public, and fiscal responsibility. You know, wondering, are we spending wisely, and are we able to find money, you know, by rearranging some things so we can, you know, put less pressure on, let's say, our PTO organizations to pay for certain things that I don't necessarily think they should be paying for and stuff like that.
That, you know, similar issues at Central in my time there. There, you know, there are a few things. I think right before I got on the board, the school, the board, I don't want to say the board, but the school had just bought that new weight room that they have over in the larger building. And I know that was like a hot button issue at the time. People were, you know, disagreeing on, you know, how important of an expenditure that should have been at that point in time. Granted, again, this was before I was on there, but I remember that being a hot button issue. I can tell you from experience, like, it seems to me, at least from my term there, like, unfortunately, and this is more of a reflection on the state system, right? You're kind of hamstrung as a school board member because the way the law is set up, you have to basically defer to the superintendent on a lot of things. I mean, there are certainly things where the school board does have, you know, responsibilities, but it's, you know, I don't know the full history of it. I mean, I would reckon, you know, if I were a betting man, that it would, you know, there was some kind of union influence on passing those pieces of legislation, of course. But I mean, that's where we are nowadays. But yeah, the COVID thing, you know, I actually had a few parents in my township approach me about this home rule idea. I don't know if this is something that you're familiar with. You probably understand, right? So for those who aren't aware, and interrupt me if I'm getting things wrong, if I do, because I'm not fully versed on this. The governor, as I understand, Murphy, put out this executive order basically requiring all the schools to put on their, to have their kids wear masks. Is that correct?
So there's an executive order that says while on school grounds, indoors, that there must be universal masking.
So the home rule idea was that instead of, you know, the governor being the one to make that decision, it should be the individual boards of education as opposed to, you know, the governor and, you know, based on the data within their county and a variety of other factors, you know, everybody should pick what's best for them. And, you know, I'm a small government guy. I believe in localism and, you know, empowering local communities instead of, you know, overarching state entities.
One size fits all.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't have a one size fits all for everything. Hardly anything you can have a one size fits all approach for. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that topic? Do you think that's something that the school should kind of move towards?
Well,
or?
We kind of had it in the summer.
Yeah.
That's what Governor Murphy's original plan was to let schools decide for themselves. And he even came out and said that I don't anticipate we're going to have a mask mandate and
well,
you know,
so much for that.
Schools are going to be able to decide for themselves. And interestingly, in the summer, our school put out a mask optional plan.
Really?
And interestingly, there was no uproar. There was no, you know, people protesting.
People who wanted masks weren't coming out and saying, how dare you give people an opportunity to choose for themselves?
Everyone was happy, or not everyone was happy, but there wasn't this arguing.
Yeah, there was no groundswell of opposition.
And
right?
we didn't, and so we kind of anticipated it was going to change, actually.
Yeah.
But our district did put that forth.
And again,
so now it changes. We, as a parent group, asked that our board advocate to Murphy and send a letter.
Okay.
And we didn't think this was unreasonable because they had just put forth a plan.
They had considered doing it at one point.
And
Tom,
they
obviously.
Refused to do it. So, again, we were disappointed because we felt like we're not being represented.
Yeah.
And yes, we understand you have to follow an executive order. Mm-hmm. You cannot openly defy. However, your responsibility is to represent your community.
Exactly.
So please throw us a little small bone.
Yeah. At the very least, it doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to advocate for a position. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, just telling the governor to go pound sand and, you know,
so actually no masks, at the board meeting, the council that was present advise them that they're not able to do that. And
they're not even able to advocate?
We disagreed and thought that was probably incorrect. And then the following evening, North Hunterd and Voorhees voted to send a letter. They are represented by the same law firm.
Really?
So we were very confused.
That's curious.
As to what transpired there.
Yeah.
Long story short, they decided to send a letter. However, it was not the letter that we wanted them to send. The letter then said they wanted more guidance on how to make their decisions and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, again, it was just disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think a letter was hurting anybody or, you know, taking...
Certainly not.
I didn't think it was... But we wanted, as a group, as a community that we feel... I mean, I know there are varying opinions in the community,
of
but
course.
We wanted Governor Murphy to know that there is a large, you know, representation here that does not agree with this.
Yeah.
And we wanted that communicated.
Yeah.
Of course, individual parents can send letters to the governor, but it's more powerful when
absolutely.
A whole district.
If it comes from a board.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know from my brief understanding, I'm not too well versed on it because I've been out of the school board for a while, but I know I'd heard that at least that Murphy. His new under his new school funding formula, Hunterdon County Schools lost a significant portion of state aid. Is that that's correct?
Yes,
right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
He unfairly targeted Hunterdon County, and I know our commissioners have.
Yeah,
you
they've
know,
been beating the drum on that. For
yeah,
a while, you know,
but
God bless them.
What can you?
Yeah,
what can you really do about
you get
it?
Get out there and vote, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Day, right?
I think that is a small percentage, though, of the overall budget. If you really look at state aid. It's like it's a little more than 1% or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, most of the funding comes directly from taxpayers.
Right.
I don't know.
Your property tax.
Yes. And the property taxes, out of your property taxes, about 75% goes to the school.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So, you know, by and large, your property taxes are the primary funding of the schools. So, yes, they did lose some funding. However, they more than made up for it, I think, with the federal funds that were brought down, which, you know, they were given a lot of leeway to how to spend them and where to spend them and things like that. And that was also things that we saw happening and we disagreed with. And, you know, again, can you make a decision and it's wrong and then, you know, no one's ever done this before. So I understand this is a unique thing.
Yeah.
However, you know, some of the things that were purchased, like for instance, they purchased, $125,000 of dividers and they were only used for 3 months.
Should have gotten into the plastic business.
I'd
be making a mint
acrylic.
Jeez. Oh yeah.
And so this year they aren't using them. So they were used from March to June. And that's
And now
it.
They're just sitting collecting dust in a basement somewhere.
Correct. And that money, I mean, you know, what can you resell them? I don't know if there's a resale market for those or whatnot. But
throw them on Craigslist, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can you do with $125,000 that, you know, but they were deemed essential to reopen.
I see.
Other districts deemed they weren't essential. And again, that's like It's one decision. You're trying to do the best you can. I understand. Yeah. But we felt that with masks, you know, universal masking, you know, you put another layer, you put another layer, put another layer. You know, when do you reach maximum mitigation, so to speak?
Yeah, I know. You know? Well, let me ask you. I don't know if you know the answer to this question.
Sure.
When the kids go to lunch.
Yes.
Are they allowed to take their masks off while they're... How does that work? Do they go to the cafeteria and they take their masks off and they sit at the
table?
Yeah,
this year they have assigned seats and they're spaced out and they're allowed to take their masks off,
We have... This is like the litmus test for... Look, I can understand reasonable COVID mitigation measures.
Yes.
You want to, you know, try to avoid mass gatherings. You want to avoid being face-to-face with people. You don't want people spitting on each other.
Yes.
Right? All reasonable things. Wash your hands.
Exclude ill people.
We should be doing all this stuff.
Yes. Regardless.
With or without COVID.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
But, like, what really just kind of, like, it flabbergasts me, right? So, a similar situation. Like, you go to a restaurant. I don't know if they're really doing this as much anymore, but, like, you go to a there was a point in time where you'd go to a restaurant that, you know, you have to wear a mask when you're at the restaurant.
Yes.
And they tell you, okay, you can take it off when you get to your table.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm at Chili's on like a Friday night. It's packed. So I wear the mask from point A to point B, which is a 20-foot walk.
Yes.
And then I take it off and everyone else has their masks off and we're all in the same space. And it's just like,
well,
you see what I'm saying? There's a disconnect there, right?
I understand. Personally, you know, my background is in biology.
Right.
I have a master's in education, mm-hmm. and I read journal articles.
Right.
Like it's my job.
Right.
You know, published peer-reviewed journal articles. And there's a lot of science out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, science people like to believe is pure and without influence.
Oh, it's become a religion to some people.
Well,
you know,
I think that people don't realize how much the funding of who's funding the science.
That's something you always have to be aware of.
Then
absolutely.
Affects where and how it gets published or even what studies get published. Some studies will not see the light of day.
Absolutely.
If they don't...
They don't get the yielded result from
the
person who's paying the money.
The desired result of the
study. Well, exactly. Well, and for people who think this is all, you know, conspiracy crap or anything like that, I mean, you go back in history and you had doctors endorsing cigarettes.
Yes.
Right? Like, hey, my doctor smokes, you know, Winston's or whatever the heck he's smoking.
Yeah.
Like... You always have to follow the money, right?
Yeah.
In anything. It's the root of all evil, unfortunately. I mean, look, we're a capitalist system.
Money
and,
makes
you know,
the world go around,
it
right?
It does. So. Exactly. And that's how you buy influence and you know, we're in, you know, not to get into
well,
a
yeah.
ranty here.
So there's what I was going to say is there's so much science that shows that this particular contagion is very tiny and very aerosolized, you know, is airborne and things. And so unfortunately or fortunately, like some of these things just may not be effective. Like improving ventilation would have a much better impact.
And that makes sense. Of course.
And so that's where we come from is that we really like to, you know, make sure we're up to date on the most, you know, current science, even right now in the schools, they're discriminating against teachers who are unvaccinated and students who are unvaccinated. If you're exposed and you're vaccinated as either, you know, a teacher or a student, you don't have to quarantine. But if you are unvaccinated, you do have to quarantine. And we don't think this makes great science because we now know that even if you're vaccinated, you can still
The breakthrough cases. These have been publicized in mainstream
Correct.
News. CNN's reporting
so again,
on it. All these,
let's update our policies.
Exactly.
But we see this discrimination and we think by the end of the month, there's probably going to be approval for emergency use for children under 12, which then directly affects our district because our district usually ends at 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see what happens at that point. And a lot, I think, unfortunately, is political. It will depend on who the governor is
of course.
The time.
Yeah.
And it all is going to coincide. I think you're going to see emergency use not happen until after the election.
Oh, I was just going to say. Yeah.
I could be wrong, but... so we're all smart people. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we're not... conspiracy nuts, but you know, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah, and
when the governor says, I don't anticipate making a vaccine mandate. We say, wait a minute, we heard this before in the summer when you said you didn't anticipate masking kids. So really, the parents that I talk to on a regular basis, I have a large group of parents and others, of course, we talk to both people on both sides of this issue. We are now at the point where, you know, we understand kids are in school, they're masked.
Right.
You know, they're doing all right. Like, people, it upsets them. They think there's other consequences that were, you know, maybe inadvertently causing with the masking that, you know, might not be realized for a year down the road. And then, you know, oops, you know, these kids are behind in reading or speech or what. But what we're really worried about now is a mandate on a brand new vaccine.
Experimental vaccine. I don't want to say experimental, but
that
yeah.
That is for a disease that we know doesn't cause that much risk
for
that
children.
Age group.
I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain the CDC like laid out the, you know, the death rates per age group, and I'm pretty sure for kids, you know, 5 to 12 within that ballpark, it's like a 99.999% chance of survival.
I think it's higher.
Even higher? Okay, well, I stand corrected.
I think it's three
decimals. Well, and again, this isn't to discount the, you know, the cases where kids do get sick, because I know we have a lot of interesting people out there who are going to take things out of context. We all acknowledge that there are kids who get sick, but like we were saying before, you can't just apply a one-size-fits-all approach to everybody and then not even make exceptions. Like, for example, in New York City, they had their vaccine mandate, right? And there's no medical exemptions for that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, even if you, you know, I know of people who have multiple sclerosis, right? A lot of their doctors advise them against the vaccine because they already have, you know, a variety of health issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if I have MS and I'm in New York City, I'm not allowed to go to a restaurant unless I get a vaccine, which at the end of the day is a product from a private company.
Yeah.
I have to transact with a company that I may not necessarily agree with and inject something into my body in order to go to a restaurant. Now, it's dystopian, quite frankly. And
you have no recourse if something happens to you.
No, it's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, that is what the focus is now. And so this is what a lot of parents spoke at the board meeting. You know, if the board would not push back against the governor for masks, we don't anticipate any pushback the governor if that does happen. And I think that's a very different issue for parents. It hits a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more personal and emotional and will cause a lot more problems. I think you might see, you know, a mass exodus from the public school systems. And, you know, myself included, I will still, I don't know what's going to happen, and it's very uncertain. Yeah. And the bottom line is the parents need representation for that opposing viewpoint. So,
and I would just throw this out there too. Like, you know, for sake of the argument, let's assume it's the opposite, right? And
sure.
This is not even getting into the efficacy of masks or whatever other measures, right? Let's just look at it from the perspective that you want to have the Board of Education making the decisions for its own district, right? Like, let's say, you know, it's the reverse.
Okay.
We're in, Texas or Florida. And, you know, the governor is saying, you know, hypothetically speaking, no restrictions whatsoever. If you impose any kind of mask mandate, any kind of vaccine mandate, you know, you're fined or you're getting in trouble. Right. Now, if I'm a parent who, you know, is actually in favor of a lot of the restrictions, would you not want to have more authority over your school district? And by that, I mean, like, we should all be uniting around the idea of home rule, because it gives us more control over our own communities, over our own, you know, areas, whatever. Like we were saying it before, to bring it up for the thousandth time, a one-size-fits-all doesn't always apply applicably to everybody. And at the end of the day, like, we should be, you know, this is America. Like, we should be responsible for ourselves to an extent, be able to make decisions for ourselves, at least at a local level.
Well, I'll close with this.
Yeah.
That the idea of public schools and boards to run them is that the board will oversee the superintendent and ensure that the policies set forth by the board are actually being, you know, carried out, and that the vision of the community is being carried out by the schools.
100%.
And I think we, at least this is why we felt motivated to run, that we've lost that dynamic.
Right.
And we don't feel the representation there of the community.
Yeah. Right.
So.
All right. So I guess we're out of time, Michelle, but we appreciate you coming on. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Excellent.
We wish you all the best.
Good luck to you as well.
Okay. We're going to take a short little break, folks. But again, Michelle Hurley, can we? Do you have a website, Facebook page?
Yeah, so I think it's tagged in this post. But we are Hurley and Rolac for FRSDBOE. And if you want to email us, because we are open and transparent, and we'll answer any question you want to ask me, it would be HurleyRolacBOE@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. We're going to take a quick break, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB. Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Okay, we're live. I was taking a second there. I had to make sure. Okay, so that was great. We had Michelle Hurley on. She's running for Board of Education for the Raritan-Flemington Regional School District. I hope I'm getting the name right.
There's always a million
words involved in these regional districts for whatever reason.
If anybody should have that position, she should have it. She is so well-spoken, isn't she?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. She definitely conveyed her points with, you know, a lot of class, very clear, very concise with what she believes. I mean, she and I certainly agree that, you know, look, at the end of the day, folks, like, government overreach, that's what we're concerned about. You know, nobody's – if we're going to move forward as a community and do things together, we have to be on the same page and we have to, you know, make decisions for ourselves, you know, within our own communities, right? Like, if you're going to have any rule being imposed by a higher power, you're going to get resistance and it's not going to be effective. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That's just my thoughts on the whole school board thing in general with, you know, what she was talking about,
everything
with the COVID restrictions.
Everything you're talking about. Here's the, actually, she left a little thing here. Michelle Hurley, mm-hmm. with two L's, by the way, and John Rolak. Three reasons
One L. H-U-R-L-E-Y.
Oh, no, yeah, Michelle.
Michelle with two L's.
Two for
okay.
Michelle,
okay.
One for
okay.
Hurley.
My bad.
Yeah, you got that.
Yeah.
So she says three reasons to vote for the Hurley and Rolak is the responsible spending, mm-hmm. communication and transparency, and advocating for parental rights. She, you know, literally, mm-hmm. she was one of the people who was here when this radio station, before this Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce,
yeah.
beautiful building, had this beautiful station. She was working here in the large, you know, facility here at the building and also
yeah.
had everything to do with the station.
Right.
She's a connector of people.
Mm-hmm.
She was with the chamber for years. I saw her. I think she was amazing. Like, I think of you, Chris Sobieski, running for re-elect for East Amwell Township. It's a special kind of personality, though, that really actually has, like what she was saying, mm-hmm. she's not afraid to stand up for what it is she wants to talk about
right.
with you.
Exactly.
And I think when you're talking about overreach,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring up that today, $600... they're going to start to monitor any kind of...
Oh, that's right. The IRS. Yeah, that's great.
I'm a little bit worried about this stuff because we're talking about overreach. I mean,
$600.
Yeah. And I want to make sure it's reciprocal to those people who are making millions and trillions of dollars, because $600, I could spend that on my Christmas party at ShopRite.
Right, right. Exactly.
Do we really need to hold up the entire government's time and everybody else monitoring how much... I mean, I could spend that at the liquor store, as everybody knows.
I don't think it's that they want to monitor everybody, but I think they give... they want an excuse to start monitoring certain individuals.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is what happens. Like, you know, with the Patriot Act, ever since, you know, 9/11, we've had all these, you know, restrictive, government surveillance programs and such like that. And, you know, sometimes they're necessary. I mean, certainly 9/11 was a tragedy, and, you know, obviously, like, yeah, you want to keep track of legitimate terrorists. Yeah.
Stuff that, I mean, hello, yeah. Yes. But $600 seems really low, and they were saying today that it could go even lower.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, unfortunately, this is the society we live in now where we're effectively moving towards a police state, at least in my opinion. And for people who disagree, I mean, you have the FBI now investigating school board meetings. Now, mind you, at least as far as I'm aware, I've never seen any assaults or any kind of batteries or any kind of, you know, attacks other than, you know, rhetorical at school board meetings. But a lot of parents are up in arms over not just the COVID restrictions, but a lot of the critical race theory stuff that's being taught. I saw this really interesting video yesterday where I forget what school district, I want to say it was Fairfax County, Virginia. Don't quote me on
that's
that.
That's right, but outside D.C.
Yeah. Apparently these parents were quoting passages from certain books that were in the library, and they were very, trying to keep the show family friendly here, but very graphic in the sexual way, like talking about, I don't even want to get into it. Male reproductive organs and like, not just like from a biological perspective, like health class. I'm talking like novels talking about kids and adults engaged in activities. It was disgusting.
It was like required reading? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it was necessarily required reading. I believe the one clip I saw was, it was a book that was in the library, and a parent was quoting from the book. I wish I had the link available. And, she was reading the passage from the book at the school board meeting, and they were telling her, hey, like, ma'am, watch your language. Well,
really?
You know, there are children here. Well, yeah, exactly. That's the problem. You know what I mean? You're kind of getting ahead of yourself. But,
oh my God.
Yeah, man, it's scary, but that's what we're moving towards right now. I don't know. It's terrifying. But again, like, we can get into what's going on with me on the election front here.
Yeah,
but anytime you know, everyone calls anybody right of center like a conspiracy theorist now, right? And, you know, I found this really hilarious, actually. So they're apparently, yeah. So apparently there's a Democrat operative in going around in East Amwell telling people that I am a conspiracy theorist of all people. Yeah. Pretty preposterous, I know.
That's ridiculous.
So I think what he might be doing is taking, you know, some statements I've made here out of context, right? So back in July, for example, we were talking about the John McAfee case because that was in the news. For those who aren't familiar, he was a tech millionaire who, you know, died under suspicious circumstances. They, you know, the official story was that he committed suicide in a Spanish prison. His wife was disputing that account. We were going through the story and going through why she thought it might have been, you know, an inside job or something like that.
Right.
So I think I also said on that show that, you know, I'm into conspiracy theories from the perspective that I find them interesting and they're entertaining, and we're trying to produce, you know, consumable content for our audience, of course.
All right.
So it just goes to show you, but, you know, I'm sure, what's today's date?
October
13th. Now, if I'm right, you got to buy me a beer. I'm not going to hold you to that.
I would
anticipate that they're going to try to put out some kind of attack ad against me because I, you know, again, taking all my words out of context and completely misrepresenting
ridiculous.
What I stand for.
Yeah.
I even heard this rumor that they're claiming that I'm like a 9/11 truther, which is
a
9/11 truther that I think like 9/11 was an inside job. That's what they're saying that I believe, which is just utterly preposterous. Never in a million years would I ever suggest that because I don't believe it because it's ridiculous. I mean, look, do I believe the federal government is giving us the full story and every single detail about it? No, but that's what they do.
Nobody else does either.
Exactly. They withhold information from us all the time. And I think it's fair to talk about.
And they should keep some information from us.
It depends, I suppose. Yeah.
A lot of times, I don't want them talking about the generals and the colonels and all this stuff on the worldwide stage.
Yeah, you don't want to give away your tactics.
Hello?
Yeah, obviously.
But what is the point of having any kind of secret agency or strategy?
Right.
But I agree with you.
Now where I take issue with them withholding information is when it's, you know, they're targeting American citizens for not doing anything.
Right? Absolutely.
Now, you want to talk about the guys who went out and joined Al-Qaeda and ISIS. A little bit of a different story because at that point you're effectively an enemy combatant. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't know if this is like the legal binding precedent, but if you go join ISIS, I think you kind of forfeit your your citizenship, or at least we should be deemed as such.
I think that should be like they have a sex offender list.
Yeah.
And we're allowed to look that up in our own town or county. Like, I would like to know if someone was a terrorist. They should tell us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it just goes.
You should not be. This is what happens. And I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Realtors, and this is Chris Sobieski, and he has already been the previous former deputy mayor of
just for one
Amwell.
Term. Yeah, talking me up.
Just
here.
For
yeah.
one. Hello, yeah. you're a young man, under 30. Sorry, both Michelle Hurley and Chris Sobieski. Just
here.
A little idea. Yeah. I bring you the best people, the people who are going to be our leaders and are our leaders now. The fact that you were the past deputy, this is what I'm only going to say to you on behalf of, I'm sure, my listeners who are listening and saying that they agree. It's when you're going to actually take the lead and go for it, you're going to get all of those wicked people, whoever they are, who do anything to bring you down.
Exactly.
And that is just wrong. And I love the way you're taking the high road.
Yeah.
You're just talking about, like, hey, there was a couple things we talked about on the radio.
No, I'm going to, I have nothing to hide.
Nothing to hide.
Exactly.
And nothing wrong.
No.
But the one thing I think is totally wrong is when someone who's opposing and trying to compete against you tries to dirty up the water, which is, again, the nature of the beast.
I know. And,
so
and
you know that you're going to deal with this, and this is the tip of the iceberg, you know.
And again, Mark, that's why I said, mark my words, it's October 13th. We still got like 3 weeks till the election. If and when that attack ad comes out, I'm going to let people know, hey, look, I've addressed this already.
Yeah.
Don't let them pull the wool over your eyes, so to speak, you know.
But anybody who in a political position who has access to personal email accounts, including my own, from a certain region or wherever where their stomping ground is, to reach the constituents, I should say,
right,
try to dirty up and mar the reputation of someone else. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if it's a Dunkin' Donuts and a Carvel, and they're coming into my community. I don't need to hear their issues. I want to hear what you're about and who you are, and I will make your decision.
Right.
If you send me some email, which you're not even allowed, supposed to do, plus getting access to an email and sending it out to people without their permission and asking for it, trying to smear someone, you lost my vote.
Yeah. Well, it's sad because at the end of the day, like, look, I don't attack my political, like, the people I'm running against.
That's
I don't attack
the way
them.
You take the high road.
I don't want to be part of the problem.
Right.
You know, and because
this
is my view on all of it, right? Like, you want to criticize me on policy. You want to criticize me on positions I've taken. You want to criticize me on, you know, my principles and what I believe. Look, I'm, you know, I don't hide from it. I believe in liberty. I believe in individual freedom. You know, small government. I'm a, you know, basic American values, like, that's, you know, this is what I was taught to, you know, to trust in and believe, and that's what I do, you know. But so where was I going with this? Yeah, so if you want to criticize me on my values, on my beliefs, on my policy positions, by all means, let's have an open and honest debate about it. But if you're going to go lie and misrepresent stances I've taken, you are contributing to the problem, right? Like, what? This is why politics are so toxic.
That's why it's so toxic in the in the country right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was going to say, I wanted to just say something that's funny about it was just forget
it'll come back to you.
It always does.
I know.
I know what it is, but I'm trying to figure out exactly how I wanted to say it. But I'm going.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll tell you. Okay.
No, well, I mean, that was kind of it in a nutshell. Yeah. Like.
Well, just giving them any even airtime to say what is even going on is not to be in any way trying to bring out anything except for just so I want everybody to know that Chris Sobieski, this is who you are. Okay.
Yeah.
I was in my real estate office, Weikert, Flemington, the other day.
Shameless plug.
I know, shameless, isn't it? But I love it. Because I was working at the Weikert Flemington real estate office event at Alexandria Township the other day.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear this every week to remind you that if you have anyone that is looking for real estate, let me know. Anyway, one of my colleagues in the real estate office said to me, Jeannie, I just want to let you know that I actually met Chris Sobieski.
Oh, really?
I said, what? What? Where? He said he was doing some recycling down in Ringo's and that you were working on a weekend or whatever. He were there.
Yeah.
On behalf of your township, you know, meeting and greeting people and just getting to know them and doing what you do, which is being personable and also helping the community.
Yeah, well, I wasn't even there to meet people. I mean, look, we do this thing in East Amwell every month where we, you know, we do a recycling depot, right, where we, you know, residents can come in and bring their recyclables. We got a couple dumpsters. We, you know, try to keep East Hamlet as beautiful as we possibly can. Yeah. We've taken it, you know, my family's taken advantage of it on a few occasions.
I wish I would have known about it.
Yeah.
I was out of town anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, I just go to help out when I can. And unfortunately, yeah, like, we do on the Saturday mornings.
And that he basically was just, like, so impressed. And he was just, like, loving talking to
you.
Thank
everything
him. Is he, that's
I appreciate
what you are.
That.
Yeah. And then he said he went to his sister's house, and he was hanging out over there, and he knocked on the door because you're out there getting to know people.
Right, right.
And I was laughing because that's, again, how we met, because you came over to my house. And I'm like, what? And so at the end of the day, I just want you to know that there's a lot of support for you. And a lot of people do not like underhanded tactics in any way, shape, or form in anything.
Yeah.
But when you want to fight fair, fight fair.
Well, that's what I do. Like, look, I was trying to close the loop on what I was trying to say before.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I got sidetracked too. So I'm not going to attack my political opponent, right? Look, I don't even plan on doing it. I might criticize a position she takes or, you know, say like, hey, I disagree for this reason. You know, meritorious arguments only. Okay, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to be part of the problem. I'm not going to engage in the toxicity. Look, if I lose because I don't fight dirty, fair enough. But I'm not, you know, I'm going to hold to my principles. I'm going to take the high road, like you said.
And you're not going anywhere, so it doesn't matter. If you win, it's going to be great. And if you don't,
You know what? At least
all the wiser.
And if I lose, at least I walk away with my integrity, knowing that I didn't resort to, you know, ad hominem attacks or saying that, you know, the woman I'm running against did something that she didn't do. I'm not going to do that because it's, you know, there's no room for that in our politics. Well, I guess there is, unfortunately, but there shouldn't be. And yeah, I'm not going to be part of the problem. That's simple. So, you know, have at it, I guess. You want to lie about me, be my guest. You know, the truth always prevails.
All's fair.
Yeah.
Except for when you're underhanded.
Yeah.
I will tell you, the other lesson, my Facebook people know that I always put the song up on, my Facebook when I'm like in a bad mood or something goes wrong because I had something that defeated me or something.
Yeah.
I can't sing, but I'll give you a shot. It's Pat Benatar. Just when you think you've got it down. Boom, 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 boom. Because it's like Promises in the Dark is the name of it. But
okay.
Yeah, we have how long until the election?
I think we're about 3 weeks out. It's November 2nd. I mean, you can still vote early, and I know.
Oh, that's right. So tell about that a little bit.
Just under 3 weeks.
So what about the early voting? Like, okay. Because, I mean, I never paid any attention until there was supposed to be the voting, you know, fraud.
Right.
And now I'm like, what? I always went in person. So early voting is, what is it?
I believe early voting is live now. The way I understand it, it might be too late to register. Don't quote me on this.
Oh.
Go talk to the Board of Elections. I don't want to get people.
You have to register ahead to vote.
I believe. Yeah, this year it goes back to somewhat normal where you had to request – if you want to vote by mail, for example, you request a mail-in ballot ahead of time. And I think the deadline for that passed. Don't quote me on that. Again, anybody listening, go talk to the Board of Elections. Yeah. They're going to – you know, I wish I had the information in front of me.
Like,
I just don't want
to – Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But I know the county has also set up in-person early voting booths.
And again, I'm going to say, if I can
again, talk to the Board of Elections.
Anybody out there, there's got to be a way.
Yeah.
They can just make sure that when we vote, it sends an email to our home saying, you just voted for Chris Sobieski to reelect East Hamel Township. Confirm it. Like, and I mean, we talked about this before. It's so simple, but at least if I got one and I didn't vote, I would know something was wrong and we could report it.
Yeah. Well, it's
no man's land again.
It's a very simple security measure. You want to have, you know, let's say I'm going, just for sake of the hypothetical here. If I want to log in on Facebook on the computer back here, right?
Right.
Not only do I have to type in my password and my email, but we have to do what's called two-factor authentication. So they'll send me a text message and then I got to put that message in. Now, if I have to go through that level of security for Facebook, and I think that's a good thing to have because certainly if somebody hacks your account, it's bad.
Duh.
Why would we not want to do that with a vote? I mean, that's your most sacred...
Especially with a border crisis.
Not even just that, but like think about it like this. It's one of your most sacred rights as an American citizen to vote. Why would you not want to protect that and ensure that your vote counts and that every vote counts the same way and equally? I don't think that's an unreasonable position to take. And I would... If someone wants to argue with me and say that, hey, you know, it's... You know, it's a bad idea. Go for it. But don't give me the argument that I hear from in certain political circles that it's because they're afraid that minorities are not educated enough to get voter IDs. That's what I hear. I mean, that's the most racist, disgusting argument I've heard in my life. And I want to stand for it.
I completely agree.
Yeah. It's
absolutely ridiculous. Everybody that I know, no matter how much income they have, has at least one iPhone in their family and their kids are smarter than I am on how to use it.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. It's not difficult. And I'm not even saying that, you know, you should never force people to get it, but like, or to pay out of their own pocket.
I mean, I can tell you back in the day, my best friend, Lisa and Colleen, Colleen was working with me. We were able to go and you could get it. And again, now it's apps. So
right.
It's even easier.
Yeah.
Back then, they had the ability that you could just integrate into your website a payment process that was secure. And it was a Visa, MasterCard, or whatever you wanted. And it will send you a confirmation. And you could, you know, add to your cart and stuff. And like you said, two-step verifications. This stuff is 20 years old now.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you can't figure out how to fix the problem? And I do want, I really do get concerned about the border because of the people coming in that could just be like seriously like going and getting in line and voting. And it's just like, it's just a scary thing. I'm not going to even go there because I know you only have a couple minutes left. So
yeah, well,
it's all yours.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that, I mean, look, you think about all the things we spend money on as a society, like we'll dump, you look at the federal budget some years, I think it was Congressman Ron Paul or his son Rand Paul as a senator. They used to do this report every year. I think they still do, where they go through all the most ridiculous like government spending items. There's stuff where they're spending money on like I forget. They were getting they were like getting birds high on cocaine or something like that and studying their sexual patterns. I swear to God, something like that. You think about it. There's a lot of BS that the government spends money on, and you know that's right. So. All I'm saying is let's take a small fraction of that and buy everybody
visual,
an identification card.
Too weird, too.
Yeah.
Too much information.
this is the
so
kind of stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, but the point of the matter is here, when you think about all the money that gets spent, why not invest that in getting everybody a photo ID voter card? You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, don't force anybody who's, you know, of a low income bracket to have to pay out of their own pocket. Let's do that. Like, that's something I can get behind. And I'm somebody who's, you know, very, like I said, I'm a small government guy. I don't like them wasting money on things. But this is important.
Add on, like, the vaccination card thing, because my little piece of paper in my purse is, like, just next to my ShopRite receipt. And I forget that I need to keep it. I'm, like, terrified of throwing it away. Like, can't we find a better way than this, like, you know, Dewey Decimal Library system. If you were even born when they had that little index card thing.
I remember learning about that in like the library class back in the day, but like,
we can't live like
I'm
that.
A kid. I'm the product of the 21st century.
Yes.
You know, if I want to look up a book, I go type it in on Google.
Well, thank God. Cause you're like a little bit, you've got the traditional side to you and then you still got that millennial forward thinking, which I love, and the technology and interest and being an attorney, at your young age is quite impressive.
Thank you.
I know you're on our show.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm too humble for praise. That's my thing. I don't like,
I don't care.
You know what I mean?
It was my show. Now it's our show and I can say
it's
whatever I want about you. And I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. You got to watch Chris. Cause I swear to God, it really, really, really gets in my system when it comes to where you're going to head out from here. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait to see it in future years, including 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Knock on wood.
Break a leg.
Hey. Don't say that because I might end up actually breaking my leg. You know what I mean?
Even if you did, what was it, Roosevelt, who was in a wheelchair?
Yeah,
you could still get by with break a leg. It's a good thing.
Did you know the governor of Texas is actually wheelchair bound?
No.
Yeah, Greg Abbott.
What?
I never realized until like a year ago when I saw him in a press conference. Because normally I'm used to seeing him on on the news. And
that's
he's
so cool.
You know, he's from the waist up.
I love it.
Well, yeah, the guy, he never let that stop him. And then another guy who I'm a little bit of a fan of just because he's about my age, Madison Cawthorn. He's a congressman, I think from, I don't know, Georgia? No, I don't know. Somewhere out west or down south. Young guy, I think he's like 23, probably about my age, a couple years younger. He was in a horrible accident years ago, and he's a paraplegic.
Is he on the news like all the time? He's blonde?
Yeah, got the
he's
like
awesome
haircut.
And he's on Fox News all the time.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He's a contributor, I think. Yeah, it's funny because you until they back up the lens, and I've watched him on them on their different shows for years.
Right,
I had no idea he was a veteran. I had no idea that's.
I don't think he's a vet. I think we're thinking of two different people. No, he's. I don't think he served.
We'll figure it out. I'll get back to you on that. All I know is I think he is, and if he's not, I could be wrong. But I know that I never knew that he has a fake leg.
Oh, you're thinking of somebody else? No, I'm talking about Madison Cawthorn. He's in a wheelchair. He was in some kind of horrific car accident years ago. But he never let that stop him.
I love
you know
that.
What I mean? And it's inspirational.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, and whether or not you agree or disagree with his politics, like that's something to be admired.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You get up.
So
resilient.
Yeah, and even, like, I would even extend the same kind of thing to, like, as much as I disagree with her and think she's not the brightest bulb in the pack, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay.
Yeah, I know not a, I give her credit for running and being young. And, like, you know, she was a bartender before she got into politics. Look, I vehemently disagree with her on almost everything.
Every single thing, yes.
But I give her a lot of kudos for stepping up and getting involved. I mean, like I said,
I agree with her, but this is going to sound terrible.
Go for it.
It's completely wrong for me to say this, but I believe it's correct, so I will say it.
Yeah.
I think she is eye candy to young people who never had time to even pay attention to who George Washington was.
Right.
That basically will follow anything as long as it's a pretty thing and it's as gorgeous as she is. Because I think she's absolutely gorgeous.
She's definitely like she's, an attractive
lady.
She's
got so much support. And I just sit there and think about what she says half the time. And I'm like, are you crazy? But because she's so gorgeous, I think she's got tons of followers.
Well, not just that, but she knows how to market herself.
Yeah,
like
she's
on. We're about to wrap it up. But like just to, what she's done, what she figured out, and was actually brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain sense. Have you ever heard of Twitch? Do you know what Twitch is? Twitch.tv? So it's a streaming service, right? But it's like individual people streaming. It's not like streaming like TV shows, right? So like what we do here on the show where we stream to Facebook,
mm-hmm.
people just stream to Twitch and they have Twitch channels. She has her own Twitch channel and she streams for like thousands of people when she has a stream going on. And people, this is how you reach the younger audience.
Right.
And you know,
she's been doing that from the beginning.
Exactly.
She jump-started everybody else who was behind in the
exactly
day.
And I think like you got to learn from this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
No matter what political party you are, if you're
right.
trying to, you know, get a message out there, you got to reach out to the people you want to reach out to, right? Like she's getting all these young people my age, a lot younger, interested in politics just by virtue of going where they go.
You sound like my boss at the real estate office, Weikert.
Great minds think alike. What can I say? You know what I mean?
It's true, though. You do.
Yeah.
And it is smart. You got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, of course.
So good credit to you, too.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for us today, I guess.
Always
6 o'clock, calling it a day. Jeannie, pleasure
Hope
as always. Thank you so much.
Enjoyed the Michelle Hurley episode.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Have
Take it easy, guys.
Week.
Peace.
That was really...
I wanted to bring up that
the microphone.